Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, Like Father, Like Son. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed and revived by this powerful message.
If I ask you today, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the words church? Some would say, well, there's a variety of things that come to mind. When I think church, I think of God, I think of Jesus. Somebody else might say, I think of music, good music programs. Somebody else would say, I think of cheap entertainment. Somebody else would say, I think of the bishop, I think of the apostle, I think of the pastor. Somebody would say, I think of the ushers because they done made me mad so many times. Somebody ought to say, I think of the parking lot attendants, anybody that has to sit out there and help us on such hot days as today. Somebody says, well, I think of the children's ministry when I think of the word church. Somebody says, well, I think of the body of Christ. And all of this is great. What we really ought to think of when we think of the church, the word family should be one of the first things that come to our mind, because God is a family man. I said, God is a family man. He thinks like a family man. He functions like a family man. He thinks multi-generational, which is good to know. It's good to know that he had a plan for my great-great-great-great-grandfather, but he's also got one for my great-great-great-great-grandchildren, because he thinks legacy. He thinks along those lines. And the reason he thinks family is because he is a father. God is a father, and real fathers always think about their family. And I'm not just talking about the male species that has the ability to produce a seed, that has the ability to produce a baby. I'm talking about fathers. And there is a real difference between the two. Y'all are quiet on me today, but it's the truth. If you are a father, or you want to know what the perfect example of a father is, then we have to look at God the Father, because he is the perfect example. The Bible said that he upholds all things by the power of his word. So, in other words, whatever comes out of him, he holds it up with his word. What that means is whatever God the Father produces, God the Father gets up underneath it and supports it, and he upholds it. In other words, you cannot be a father unless you are willing to uphold what comes out of you. Y'all see that? That's good right there. Fathers are those who uphold and those who support coming generations. I said fathers are those who uphold and support coming generations. The word father means Abba. Abba means father. And Abba also means the supporter. It means the upholder. It means the sustainer. It means the protector. It means the provider. It also means the founder and the progenitor. That's what Abba means. So let's take that word progenitor for a second and break it down. If you see the word progenitor, take the pro off of it, and you got the word genitor. Genitor is the root word for the word generation. So genitor means to generate, or it means to start or to begin something. Then when you put the word pro back up there for progenitor, it pro means to support. It means to uphold. So what that says is that a real father is the source and is the support of what he generates. In other words, he supports the generations that he generates. Y'all see that? He supports what he generates. Now, not every male species that produces a seed, that produces a baby, is a real man or is a real father, because it takes a real man and it takes a real father to stay through the storms of life, and it takes a real father to uphold and walk through the ups and the downs of a life of a child and to provide for what you have produced. I hope you are providing for what you have produce. We got a lot of people today that aren't. We got a lot of major athletes. We've got a lot of major bodybuilders. We got men who are businessmen. We got men who are great musicians. We've got men that are great bishops and pastors and leaders. But just because you have that title does not necessarily mean that you're a good father. My question today is, where are the fathers? We've got a lot of men that think just because they walk away from their baby's mama and divorce her, that they also divorce the child. But see, that ain't right either. Just because you walk away from the mama don't mean you can't support the child. Because a real man says, look, I don't care what happens to the mama. I mean, if I'm through with you and we are through, we're going to go our separate ways, then that's just the way it is. But that baby is, that's my baby forever. That's my child forever. And it's so sad because we are in a society where so many people are victims of men that are bad enough to produce a child, but they're not bad enough to raise them and protect them and provide and support for them. None of them are here today, I'm sure. As a result, we've got fathers that are missing in action. They're MIAs. They are missing in action. And we got mothers that are trying to be mothers and fathers. And then we got children who grow up to be dysfunctional adults because their parents were dysfunctional and they grew up in dysfunction. Their home life was always in dysfunction, and that's all they were able to see. So now they are reaching and they're groping and they're searching and they're feeling to try to work their way into a role that they should have been able to see played out before them. But because they didn't see it, now they're having to search and they're looking for identity from here, and they're looking for it from there, because nobody can really tell you who you are like your father can tell you. All the fathers in here ought to say amen. All the daughters ought to say amen, because ain't nobody can tell you who you are like your father can tell you who you are. Every young man wants to hear his father say, I love you and you are my son. Every young person needs to hear that. It gives them direction in life. It gives them identity. But because we have a generation that don't know who they are, then they can't, because you can't go to somebody who don't know who they are and expect them to tell you who you are. So it's important that we get to the place. And if you don't have a father that tells you who you are, I want to suggest to you that you tap into Father God, because the first thing he's going to tell you is, you are my son. And when he begins to identify who you are, then you have the power to turn around and identify your sons and your children and your daughters and point them into the path that they ought to be able to walk. And the church said, amen. What we have is we've got children that instead of becoming great role models, they can't because they haven't had any. So now they become carbon copies and they become duplicates of what they've seen previous generations do. And little by little and generation by generation, we are moving further away from what God intended that the family would be. Now here's the clincher for that. It doesn't just stop in our natural homes. When you got all kinds of stuff like that going on in our natural homes, guess where else it shows up? It shows up right here in the church. Touch somebody and say, yep, even at the Potter's house. Because it works its way out of the house and it works its way over into the church. So now, as a result, we've got big mega ministries and we got big churches and big building programs and we got big big recording contracts and we got big artists and we got big dreams and we've got big desires and we've got big names, but we don't have integrity and we don't have character and we don't have stewardship. And the reason we don't have that is because we reject responsibility. And we reek with rebellion and we refuse alignment and refuse accountability. We are drifters. We are rolling stones. Wherever we lay our hat, that's our home. That is until you start to correct me. And when you start to correct me, if you don't do it the right way, then I'm gonna have to ease on down the road, because I am talented and I ain't got to take all that. Y'all didn't see that one coming. I know you didn't. Tell somebody you didn't see it coming, but it's here. I don't have to take all that because I have my own anointing and I have my own gifting and I have my own desire and I have my own. It's called the my ministry syndrome, and it is alive and it is well in the church. And it's sad because I don't even get it. My ministry. This is not about you. This is about God. This is about his ministry. But we got these crazy entitlement things that says, I don't have to take that because I have my own anointing. I have my own gift and I have my own destiny. And so I don't have to take all that. Well, granted, you might be talented and you might be gifted and you might be anointed, but talented and gifting and anointing is not going to be enough to get you from where you are to where you need to be. You need the voice of a father speaking in your life. You need a voice from the father that's helping you, that's knocking off the rough edges of you. Can I tell you that your destiny is not something that you find apart from your father? Your destiny is something that you find in your father. Try if you will, but destiny is locked up within the loins of fatherhood. I'm preaching in here today. I said, I'm preaching in here today. And until we find that father and until we submit to that father, most of us will never find our destiny. Furthermore, we must be willing to recognize the difference between a father and a friend. I said, we gotta recognize the difference between the fathers and the friends. See, fathers are the ones that have the power to tell us who we are. And so we got to know the difference when a father is speaking into our life and when a friend is speaking into our life. Because don't expect your friend to be your father. And also don't expect your father to necessarily be your friend. He is first your father, and then he is your friend. See, I'm not really in your life to just be your friend. Because if you're like me, I don't necessarily need another friend. Because friends are not always honest. I said friends are not always honest. Many of them have motives and many of them have agendas. Yes, even the ones that you would not even believe it. They are the ones that have motives and they have agendas. But see, a mother and a father loves you, and because of that, they will tell you the truth about yourself. Friends ain't gonna tell you. I said friends ain't always gonna tell you. But if you have a real mother, a real father, they'll look at you and say, no, that attitude's gonna mess you up. You need to go somewhere because you ain't all that and you ain't a bag of chips. You need to fall on your face and say, God help me, because if you don't help me, I'm gonna be in trouble. See, you can get mad at a friend and you can walk away from the friendship, but when your father corrects you, when your father makes you mad, where are you gonna go then? Nowhere, if you got any sense, because only a dummy runs from their daddy. I said only a dummy runs from their daddy, because real daddies are our provision. They are our lifeline. Real daddies, real fathers are food on our table, which means that they nourish us. Real fathers are our covering, because they are the roof that is over our head. Real fathers are your link to the family. Real fathers are your shelter. They are your educator. They are real fathers. I'm talking about real fathers now. They are with you through the thick, and they are with you through the thin. I know it's old fashioned, but I'm going to tell you something. There was a day that we didn't run from our fathers. There was a day that we didn't talk back to our fathers. There was a day that you'd be like, oop, 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 oop. You wouldn't talk back, and you didn't roll. Damn, don't you dare roll your eyes at your father. There was a day you didn't have an opinion. Now everybody's got an opinion in the house. But when I was coming up, we didn't have an opinion. I just went where mama took me. I don't want to go to church. It don't matter. We couldn't have said that. We were going to church. We didn't even have children's church like we have today. Children's church was me sitting right next to my mama on Sunday morning. No, it's old fashioned, but when we were coming up, you just took your licking, and like Bishop says, you just kept on ticking, because that's the way it was. Now anything goes. How times have changed. How they have changed. See, if we get upset with our parents today, we report them. Right, we report them. We pick up the phone and we report them. Today we call correction abuse. That's what we call it today. We call it abuse. And if you correct me in a manner that I don't want to be corrected in, then we will label you as an abuser, and then the system will rescue us. Oh y'all better help me in here today. I said, we will, if you correct me in a manner that I don't want to be corrected, then I will label you as an abuser, and the system will come and they will rescue me. No questions asked. They will just rescue. Well, you know what? It's the same. I'm discovering that it is the same way in the church. You won't let me have my way. You won't let me do what I want to do. You won't let me shine. You won't let me sing. You won't put me up on the platform. Because if we put you up on the platform, our phones are going to ring off the hook all week long, and it's not going to be for the right reason. Hello? And so what happens is we just allow, then the church system will rescue us, and somebody else will see my talent, and somebody else will see my ministry, and somebody else will grab me, and they will take me to where I need to be. Y'all ain't gonna help me. If you don't celebrate me, then I'll go to the church down the street, because they will eventually celebrate me. And so what do? We run from church to church, and bishop to bishop, and leader to leader, and pastor to pastor. And you know what ends up happening? The child, the person ends up dysfunctional, because you're looking for fulfillment and you're looking for destiny, but your destiny is locked up in the loins of your daddy. But because you reject your daddy's discipline, you'll never rejoice in your daddy's blessing. I said something right there. I said something right there. We always wonder why everybody else gets the blessing. That's because when you're connected, you get the blessing. When you accept the discipline, when you accept that somebody is bringing correction to your life. But see, what happens if you don't? You have to watch other sons, and you have to watch other daughters, and you watch other gifted people in the family, and you watch other ministries, and it looks like everything they touch becomes gold. It looks like everything that they set their hands to begins to prosper, and then you wonder why it's not working for your life. You wonder, you think it's almost like they just got a magic touch. It is not a magic touch. It is order, and God blesses order. I said it is order, and God blesses order. Order makes it all work. I said order, it makes it all work. And because we've allowed our homes to become chaotic, now our churches are chaotic, and we have fathers who are not really being fathers. We have sons who are not really being sons, and we have pastors who will just put anybody up in a pulpit to sing because they have a name. We're not interested in a name. We want to know, do you have the touch? Do you have the DNA that we are after? See, a family has a certain DNA. We're after the glory. We're after getting into the presence of God. I don't want to know, can you excite me? I want to know, can you take me into the presence of God? When my heart is overwhelmed, can you just lead me to the rock that is higher? When I don't know which way to go, I want to know that you're praying for me. See, when you got all of that locked up in you, then you got our DNA. I don't care how big your name is. If you ain't got my DNA, we ain't family. Hello, help me, Jesus. So as a result, we have got a lot of sons that need fathers, and then we got a lot of fathers who need sons. They need sons. They're loaded. We have fathers that are loaded with blessings. And we got sons that need those blessings. But we need the two of them to connect. We need divine connection to take place. Because if the sons don't connect with the fathers, then when it's time for them to become fathers, they won't have what their sons are needing from them. Because they didn't get it from the fathers. We need fathers and sons to unite. We need them to come together and confront every generational curse that has been in the house for years. We need them to come together. We need to have sons and fathers that come together and say, you might have done that to my granddaddy, but you ain't gonna do that to me, and you ain't gonna do that to my son. The blood, I put the blood around us. Why allow yourself to be a carrier of a curse when you can be the carrier of a blessing? Why pass on a curse when you can pass on a blessing? God, give us some men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob who will hold death at bay and say, oh, no, I can't die until I lay my hands on my son and tell them who they are. I got to tell them why they're here. I got to tell them why they were born. I got to tell them what they can do. I got to tell them who that they can become. We need fathers that will point children toward purpose. We need fathers who will direct them to toward their destiny, who will aim and affirm so the drug dealer don't have abilities to aim and affirm. We need fathers who define and design their children. Oh, my prayer is today on this Father's Day 2012 is that God will wake up the fathers around the world. Our hospitals and our rehabs and our prison system is full and running over. It's at capacity simply because of the lack of fathering. God, wake up the fathers. They're at capacity. They're at capacity. One in four fathers live away from their children. One in four. Four. Do you know how many? Just start counting them off in this room. There's a lot of people in this room. Statistically, you're separated from your. So what then do we do before we lose our generation? And not only that generation, but the next one to come. What do we do, and how can we correct it? Can we correct it? Can it even be corrected? How can we give something to somebody that we didn't get ourselves? How can we do that? And this, my brother and my sister, is the dilemma that we are living in today. However, despite what we may not have, and despite what they did not give to us, and despite the fact that we may not be connected with them, we cannot just give up on our dreams, and we cannot just give up on our sons, and we cannot just give up on our desires, and we cannot just give up on our destiny. So if you have thrown in the towel today, I want to quickly charge you in the name of Jesus to get back in the game and pick up your towel. Forget who didn't help you. Forget who was not there for you. Forget who did not have your back. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And like David, who was left in the field, stuck in a stinky situation, ostracized and alienated, overlooked and overshadowed, he should have been in despair. But the truth of the matter is God preserved that young man and brought him to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hit somebody on both sides and tell him it's your time. It's your time. Tell him get in the game because it's your time. It's your time. Elijah and Elisha, they had a relationship. The two of them that went beyond the borders and the boundaries of a bloodline. They went beyond the borders and the boundaries of a bloodline. Elijah became everything that Elisha was needing. He became everything that his earthly father wasn't. Their relationship between the two of them illustrates to us that when you don't get what you should get from whom you should get it, God will make sure that you get it anyway. There's a witness in this room. I said, when you don't get what you should get from whom you should have got it, God will make sure that you get it anyway. Even if he has to use somebody else, he is going to get it to you. Oh, touch somebody and tell him God's always got a backup plan. He's always got a backup plan. I know that's right. Elijah was up under divine direction of a sovereign God. And when he was, we talked about him a few weeks ago, about being backed up in a cave and how he was, but God came to his cave and pulled him out. Well, this is why he pulled him out. Because he said, I want you to go find a young man in your stead and I want you to anoint him. His name is Elisha. So Elisha is on the field, his father's field, and he is behind 12 yoke of oxen, and he is plowing his father's field. That's just what he did. That's who he was. And he had just got the land perfectly plowed. He got it prepared. He got it prepped. He got it primed. He got it all ready for the seed to go into the ground. All systems would go. He got up early. He had everything plowed up. The bases had all been covered. This is Elisha. He's got the whole whole ground covered, and the turf has now been turned over. It has been tilled. The terra firma has been turned up. The ground has been groomed, and the soil is already set for the seed. Everything had been carefully cultivated, and the reason it was carefully cultivated was because they wanted the seed planting to become successful. So they had dotted all of their I's and crossed all of their T's. Everything was precisely, it went precisely as planned. And just when he gets it about finished, he looks up and he sees a man walking on everything that he has just plowed up. He looks up and he sees he don't know at the moment that he's a prophet, but he sees somebody walking over everything he has just done. And he is like having a fit. I cannot believe I got up at the crack of dawn. I plowed this whole thing up, and now here comes somebody walking on what I had just got in order. This was a prophet that was coming his direction, and he was not just any prophet, okay? This was a prophet that had just got a divine visitation. He had just got a fresh, if you got a prophet coming toward you, trust me, that's the kind you want. You want one that's had a divine visitation. You want one that has a fresh anointing on their life. For Elijah had been in the cave. He had been backed up, and he was there because he was weary from ministry. But God called him out of the cave, reached in, pulled him out, and said, now go anoint this young man. He is your son. So Elisha looks up, and he cannot believe that this man, Elijah, is walking on his field. Who is he anyway? No, you did not just walk on everything that I had just planned out. Why are you walking on my furrows? Why are you walking in here messing up everything that I have just put together? Elijah is destroying what Elisha has just designed. He flattened his field. He injured his intention. He stamped on his significance. He violated his vision. He tore up the timeline because now everything's messed up. And he walked on everything that Elisha had just worked for. And Elisha looks up at him and says, hold up. Who are you, sir, anyway? I don't think I invited you to come and walk all up in my life. Who will you watch where you're walking, please? Can't you see that you're messing up what I have just plowed up? I mean, I finally got it like I wanted it, and now you have come in here and you walked on it. See, that's the problem with good ministry. Good ministry will walk on everything that you have got all planned out. Good ministry will trample it. They will pull you from a plow of carnality. But the good thing about it is good ministry will also draw you into your destiny. But see, he didn't know it at the time. No one had told him. There was no fax. There was no email. Nobody Facebooked him. Nobody tweeted him. Nobody gave him the memo that there was a prophet coming to his life today that was going to unmistakably change his life forever. Because see, he had been marked. He had been set apart. He had been set aside. The hand of God was on him, and he had been predestined. And while he's over here just doing what he was doing, God was way over there talking to a prophet about him. You never know who God is talking to about your life, about your future, about your destiny. This boy had been marked to go where nobody in his family had ever gone. He had been marked to do what nobody in his family had ever done. He would overcome the barriers. He would overcome barricades. He would overcome hurdles and heartaches and headaches and handicaps that all of his other family had to go through. He would achieve what they would never achieve because he would summon the courage to break free from all of his kinfolk decided to just die in. And now here he is. His plans are walked on. His life has been touched by a prophet who would propel him and all of his potential to his next destination. All of this happens. Touch somebody, say, just like that. Just like that. He's all of a sudden, he looks up, and this man has walked on what he has just turned over. Now his life is being changed forever. Life as he has known it He would not know it anymore. He did not know that when he woke up that morning. Telling you, God can jump on the stage of your life and turn it so fast. When you're in order. Touch somebody, say, when you're in order. This man has been divinely discovered, and he's also been divinely disconnected all at the same time. Woo. Had he have chosen to stay, he would have been divinely disconnected for the rest of his life. Touch somebody and tell him, don't miss your window. He was facing a window of opportunity. See, when you miss your window, your comfort zone, it becomes uncomfortable. Yes, I said, when you miss your window, your resting place, it ends up making you restless. When you miss your window, what used to fulfill you, all of a sudden, it just don't do it anymore. It don't cut it anymore. When you miss your window, what used to gratify you is not gratifying anymore. When you miss your window, the things that used to bring you satisfaction, they don't satisfy you. Things that used to work, they don't work after you miss your window. Things that used to be okay, they are not okay anymore when you miss your window. When you miss your window, you lose your passion and your dreams dry up. Slap somebody, tell them don't miss your window.
Thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, Like Father, Like Son, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 1-888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.